This is VPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station with Dale Gentry and friends, calling America to pray, a member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change. Now, here's your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, good Monday morning, everybody. Good to have you listening here on BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, broadcasting live from our studios in Austin, Texas, around the clock and around the globe. We have our special guest today, Corby Holcomb, is going to be on with me, and it's going to be a great broadcast. Good to have you listening on this Monday. Remember, the views and opinions of those on this broadcast today may or may not be the views of Breakout Prayer Network. VPN Radio is not responsible for any counsel or prophetic words given on this broadcast, but we are absolutely delighted that you're listening. This program is produced by Michael Schonborn, edited by Aliona Pertuca, and supported by you, our loyal listeners, partners, and friends. Let's pray, America. Okay, want to welcome churches and cities all across America and around the world that are praying with us today, now here in our fourth year of broadcasting live from our studios in Austin, Texas. Want to welcome some new cities that are praying with us: Safety Harbor, Florida; Sweeney, Texas; Jacksonville, Texas. Also want to welcome Mount Juliet, Tennessee; Charlotte, North Carolina; Modesto, California; Ivernus, Florida; Federal Way, Washington; Richland Center, Wisconsin; Chesapeake Bay, Maryland; Crawford, Mississippi; Fairview, Oregon. And, of course, we have now 1,305 churches that are represented on the Breakout Prayer Network. And this includes 116 in Florida, 68 in Louisiana, 43 in North Carolina, 147 in Oklahoma, 375 in Texas. And we are now represented in 847 cities, including Mexico, Africa, Canada, Australia, England, Scotland, Barbados, Brazil, Germany, Pakistan, India, Guatemala, Kampala, Uganda, Indonesia, Malaysia, Burundi, Africa, Nicaragua, Kenya, Africa, Lagos, Africa, and others around across America and around the world. And so Corby Holcomb is my guest today here in the studios with me, and he's the writer of the song that we're about to play, Let's All Stand for This One. Corby's happily married, the father of four boys. Corby is a native of Austin, Texas, a full-time attorney and a prosecutor in Travis County, Texas, for the past 20 years. He has written over 30 songs, including the one I'm about to play. I want you to listen to this great song, and then we are going to be back to talk with the songwriter. Chad Hudson is the singer. Corby Holcomb is the writer. And let's all stand for this one. I like this song. I know you will, too.
Time of war, just like his dad and his dad before. They risked their lives so that we'd be free. They fought for you and they fought for me. The Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines run to the fight wherever the need. They gave their lives, they lost their limbs. Let's unite and remember them. When it's time to honor them, let's stand for our national anthem. Rise for what unites us all. Remember that divided we fall. When trouble comes, we don't run. Let's all stand for this one. Small town Friday night football game. Billy Joe in a wheelchair as they called his name. He
lost his legs in Afghanistan. When the anthem played, he wished he could stand. We'll always have our differences, I'd agree, but this is bigger than you or me. We can disagree and still stand as one. A better country there is none. So when it's time to unveil, let's stand for our national anthem. Rise for what unites us all. Remember that divided we fall. When trouble comes, we don't run. Let's all stand for this one. For the tired, huddled masses breathing free. This great land of opportunity. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? It ain't about who's wrong or right. The land of the free because of the brave. It's not what they took, it's what they gave. So remove your hats, stand up please. I'd rather die standing than live on my knees. So when it's time to honor them, let's stand for our national anthem. Rise for what unites us all. Remember that divided we fall. When trouble comes, we don't run. Let's all stand for this one. When trouble comes, we don't run. Let's all stand for this one. As brothers and sisters, we are one. Let's all stand for this one.
Hey, what a great song. What a wonderful song that is. Let's all stand for this one. It's good to have in the studio with me today, as I said, Corby Holcomb. And welcome to BPNRadio.com.
Thank you, Dale, and thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. And thank you to all the listeners and all the veterans that have served and all the current military that we have that is serving right now to protect our great country.
Wow. Well, I sincerely agree with that. And what a great song. What prompted you to write the song, Corby?
Well, I just to give you a little history, I started playing guitar about 12 years ago. I'm kind of a late bloomer. Started off playing sports and was busy doing that, and then started my legal career. And then kind of late in life, my dad gave me a guitar and showed me a couple chords, and I started playing a couple Willie Nelson songs. And never really had any intention of ever doing much with it other than just playing for myself and for my kids. And kind of got an idea, got inspiration to write a song probably about a year and a half ago. And then so I wrote that first song. It's called I Try, and it's not even out there yet. I just kind of wrote it for my family and my friends. And but that got me kind of going in the songwriting direction. Ever since I wrote that first one, and it's just about being a parent, being a dad, and doing the best you can as a parent, as a father or a mother. And but that was kind of the inspiration that started my songwriting career, if you will. And since that one, I've written about 30 songs. This one actually came out last year. You know, it was probably about 6 months after I'd written the very first song that I'd written. And I was a big football fan growing up. I played football in high school. I started here in Austin as a defensive end for Bowie High School, and always watched football. Grew up watching football. Watched Dallas Cowboys was my team. I actually worked for the Dallas Cowboys when I was in college, when they had their training camp here, and got to hang out with Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith and all those guys. So I was a huge football fan, and but I've always been a super patriotic American. That's part of the reason I became a prosecutor, was try to make the world a better place and help people out and keep the world safe and help our community. And when I started watching the football players take a knee during the national anthem, I just had this very strong, overwhelming emotional reaction. that really bothered me. And I was trying to reconcile these two different ideas that I had. One was this kind of love for football and enjoyment of the game. The other one was being proud of our country and really having a lot of respect for our veterans and for what our veterans do for our country and the risk that they take and the losses that we incur. And I finally came to the point where I just had to, in my mind, I just had to make the decision I couldn't watch football as long as they're taking a knee during the national anthem. And so last year was the first year that I can remember just not watching football. And I didn't watch the Super Bowl. It was the first Super Bowl I never watched. And but I just felt kind of hypocritical to have these strong beliefs and then just pretend like I wasn't seeing it or just kind of turn the other way while they're taking a knee during the anthem. And then pretend like I can just watch the game and it doesn't bother me. So I felt for me to be true to myself and my principles, I really had to make a commitment, which I did, and it was a personal decision that I made. And what happened was the song actually arose out of that. I was really struggling with it because it would, Sundays were tough because I would be wanting to watch some football or Monday night, and it just, but I just couldn't do it. I did that, and the song actually, I wrote it pretty much at the end of the football season. It was my way to try to reconcile all these emotions I had, and that's kind of where most of my songwriting comes from, is an idea or a thought or some emotion that I'm feeling, and I write a song based on that. So this was one of those songs. Now, when I originally wrote it, it was more of an emotional. It wasn't quite written the way it is now. I think it was more out of anger, and it was a more emotionally based song. And I wrote it, and I just kind of sat on it, just kind of sat with some of my other songs during my songbook. Didn't really have any idea or intent to do anything with it. And then we took a trip to Santa Fe, New Mexico, for spring break in March with the kids, and we were up in the mountains skiing for a week, and just being up in those mountains, I sort of had this epiphany, and didn't really hit me until we were driving back. We stopped back in Lubbock, Texas, which, Buddy Holly's home, kind of sounds like a song right there. But I was in a hotel room in Lubbock, Texas, and my wife was running errands one day, and the kids were in a room next to us. So I had about 6 hours in a hotel room. And the night before that, when we were in the hotel room, the title just hit me like a ton of bricks. Let's All Stand for This One. Originally, it was actually titled You Better Stand for This One, because it was emotionally, that's kind of how I felt. And it's been an interesting experience, through this whole process for me to wrap my own mind around how I really feel about the issue. But I rewrote it. I changed the title. I rewrote pretty much every verse. And after I wrote it, and it didn't take me very long to write almost the way you just heard it, because most of the songs that I write, when I write them, they come to me like that. Every time I try to sit down and actually write a song, they usually don't turn out very well, and they usually just get scrapped. But the ones that I end up going with are the ones that kind of write themselves, if you will. And this was definitely one of those songs. But the second I wrote it, as soon as I was done, I felt this 800-pound gorilla fall off my back, and it just felt good. And it was my way to kind of reconcile all these emotions I was feeling and to try to promote a message of unity for our country. Dale, you probably remember, it seemed like back in the day, it didn't matter which party you were, whether you were a Democrat or Republican, we always tried to find common ground that we could always agree on.
Yeah.
And now it just seems like everything in the media, it's all about the differences, and it's getting real ugly out there on social media. And I think most Americans, just this is my personal opinion, we're proud to be Americans. We want to come together as Americans and try to make our country a better place. And that's how the song came about. And, I guess to follow up on that, so I wrote it and I felt great. And when I first wrote it, it was just for me. It was just a personal thing to reconcile these emotions I was feeling. And we got home, and not too long after that, I was sitting in the living room playing it on the guitar the way I'd rewritten it, and my wife was in the kitchen, and as soon as I was done, she came running out of the kitchen, and she said, "Oh, my God." She said, "That is the one. That's the song." And I said, "What are you talking about?" because my wife is my toughest critic, so she will tell me if there's something wrong with my song, or if I'm off key, or if it doesn't make sense, or it doesn't sound good, and she's never reacted to any of my songs like this one. So she comes running out and is like, oh my God, that is amazing. That is like, you know, she's like, we've got to do something. That's what our country needs right now. And so I was just kind of, you know, it took me aback because, I mean, I thought it was a good song. You know, I wrote it. I kind of think some of my songs were, a few of my songs were pretty good, but it was just, I was very amazed that she had such a strong reaction to that song. And so I started playing it for other people, and young people, older people, people that are, you know, left-leaning, right-leaning, and they all kind of had the same reaction. They thought it was a great song. Mm-hmm. It had a great message of unity. And they all kind of said, look, that's kind of what our country needs right now. And so, and it just kind of led from there. And then with the idea, well, let's, you know, see if we can do something with it, try to get it professionally recorded and see if it goes anywhere. And then after that, what happened was once we decided to get it produced and recorded, and we were going to start trying to push it out, I said, well, you know, I want to do even more. I think it's a great message. I think it's what our country needs, and it's a way to honor the veterans that have fought and died and those that have served for us and the military that's currently serving for us. But I wanted to do more than that, because the song, it was never about, you know, me trying to make money or even make a name for myself. So that's when I decided to donate 50% or half of all the proceeds that I make to veterans organizations, to help wounded veterans, families of veterans, and to try to, you know, kind of give something back for the people that have given so much to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is great. I love your song. And a friend of mine sent me this song, and immediately, of course, I get lots of songs, and people say, well, would you listen to this song? What do you think about playing this song? Because we do have we have prayers, but we have music also. When I heard your song, I immediately was attracted and said, I need to have this guy on with me, because I believe, Corbett, that millions of Americans feel just like you do concerning standing for our country. They may not verbalize it or vocalize it, but I believe that they certainly agree with your message. And then, of course, you have YouTube, you have a music video, and then I watched that, and it was great. I really enjoyed it, and I just encourage everyone to get your song and listen to it. How can they purchase your song, and how can they watch it on YouTube? How does that work?
Yeah, so if you just go to YouTube, and if you just type in Let's All Stand for This One, the song will pop right up. You can also find it under my name, Corby Holcomb, but I have some other videos out there that I've done, just me playing guitar. So if you put in Let's All Stand for This One, that's probably the best way to pull it up. I think we're right at about 2,000 views. The song's been out a little over 3 weeks now, and so it's kind of getting out there. But most of the money that will be raised for the veterans will come from the music downloads, such as iTunes. Currently, it's just on the music venues, so online music venues like Pandora, Spotify. I think it's on 150 different music online venues. Mm-hmm. So pretty much anybody that purchases music online should be able to find it under Let's All Stand for This One.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, then the donations will, you know, come in, and I'll be able to give those out to different veterans organizations.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I just want to say that you're an unusual mix, Corby, prosecuting attorney and a songwriter, and you have someone that's singing, Chad that's singing country. you're a different mix. I mean, how do people receive a prosecuting attorney who's a songwriter and somebody that is so pro-American? I mean, do you have mixed reviews there?
I think it's more a surprise than anything. I think because most people probably, you know, being a prosecuting attorney, that's a full-time job, and I have four kids. That's a full-time job. I coach a lot of their sports. I'm actually coaching football right now, flag football for one of my little guy, mm-hmm. and so I wear a lot of different hats. But the songwriting was just a passion that overtook me late in life, and it's every time I touch a guitar, I'm happy, I'm in love with playing music and writing music. And the songwriting is a late in life discovery. So I'd say it's more, I've always been very patriotic, and in a lot of my closing arguments and a lot of my cases, you know, I had a prosecutor one time say, "You're Captain America." He said, "Because everything you say is truth, justice, and the American way." And that's just how I was raised. That's how I feel, I believe. I think just, you know, growing up and looking around and just seeing what the veterans do and, you know, the sacrifices they make, I just feel like we kind of owe it to them. And when you look at the history of the national anthem, I mean, the Star Spangled Banner in 1814 came out of basically a military conflict where the British were bombing us at Fort McHenry, and Francis Scott Key, the next morning when he saw the American flag still standing after the British hit us with everything that they had, you know, that was inspiration for his poem, which later became a song. And in 2014, we celebrated the 200-year anniversary of the Star-Spangled Banner. Throughout that 200 years, we've had World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, you know, the conflict in Iraq, Afghanistan. And I just think about throughout those 200 years, that song has always symbolized unity and strength of our country. Mm-hmm. And with the idea that united we stand and divided we fall. Mm-hmm. And as a kid growing up, every time the national anthem played, every time I heard that song, and, you know, as a kid going to football games, whatever it may be, you hear the national anthem, everybody stands up as one people. It doesn't matter what your political beliefs are.
Yeah.
We all stand up, we salute the flag, and we just pay honor to the veterans that gave us all these freedoms and rights that we enjoy. Mm-hmm. And so in the last few years, you know, when I started seeing these professional football players taking a knee, it just really bothered me. And so, you know, that really is why I wrote the song. And it's real, and it's in a, I try to write it in such a way to encourage people in a positive way, to promote unity and to encourage people and to kind of make the argument as to why we should all stand. I mean, the real reason, whole reason the anthem was written and the whole reason the history of the anthem is to honor our veterans, mm-hmm. and our military and our great country. And there's a couple lines in there. Like, if there's the one line where we'll always have our differences, I'd agree, but this is bigger than you or me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 10 years from now, what's the issue going to be? 20 years from now, there's always going to be an issue, right? And everybody has their own beliefs. I mean, if you're like, when I try to make the argument to people that say that they have the right to take a knee, like they, and even some veterans feel that way. There are some veterans that feel that these players have the right to take a knee and that they fought for their right to take the knee. They have a First Amendment right. Now, where I would disagree with them on that, and I'm not a First Amendment or constitutional lawyer, I did take constitutional law in law school, but the First Amendment only applies to government regulations or limitations on free speech. It doesn't apply to private entities or organizations such as the NFL. So it's really not a First Amendment issue. It would only be if the government were trying to make restrictions on it. So it's pretty much a private entity, company, organization. The NFL is actually a trade association. They have collective bargaining, and each individual team has their own rights. So they can set their own rules or their regulations as to what they're going to allow or not allow. And, you know, I really think when Kaepernick first took a knee back in 2016, the NFL had a great opportunity to, you know, shut that down immediately, you know, either warn him, fine him, suspend him if need be, and I think that would have probably been the end of it, but they allowed it to go on, and then it just kind of spiraled out of control to the point where we are now, where you have whole teams staying in the locker room, not coming out, whole teams coming out taking a knee. I think the ratings have dropped 20% in the last couple of years for the NFL, because obviously there's a lot of people that feel the same way that I do, that, you know, they just don't feel like they can go to the stadiums and watch the games, or they can watch the games while the players continue to kneel. And, you know,
so let me ask you a question, Corby. Why is the NFL proceeding with this practice when so many Americans now are boycotting the games? The attendance is down. The viewer audience is down. Why is this continuing?
Well, I think it probably starts with their, you know, their leadership. And, you know, I've started to, when I wrote the song, I had no idea that at some point I'd be on a radio station talking about it. Mm-hmm. But in the process of going through this experience, I've started researching more of it. And you look around and you ask yourself, well, why isn't this going on in baseball? Why isn't this going on in the NBA? I just watched the World Cup, and you have people from all over the world, all these different countries, mm-hmm. and not one person took a knee during the entire World Cup. And you can make the argument there are some countries right now in the world that have way bigger problems than we do.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, huge atrocities. Absolutely. And those players stood, you know, hand in hand, singing every word to their own national anthem, mm-hmm. with pride, and you could see it on their faces. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, why is it in America, that the greatest country in the world, we have players that are on their knees, that, you know, they're making millions of dollars and they're taking a knee? And that was the struggle that I had, trying to, you know, wrap my mind around it. But I really think it starts with the NFL. There's an NFL operations manual. There's an NFL rule book that applies to the rules more so of the game for mm-hmm. the NFL, what they can and can't do. And then there's the NFL operations manual, mm-hmm. which states that all players must be on the sideline, that they should stand, face the flag, respect the flag and the country, and that failure to do so may result in fines or suspension. So the NFL had the ability, I mean, those operation manual was in place. Now, it says should and may, but that gives the NFL the discretion to either impose those fines and penalties or not. They chose not to, although in doing further research, if you look throughout what the NFL has done, you know, Tim Tebow wore John 3:16 blackout mm-hmm. on his black eyeliner to mm-hmm. block out the sun and mm-hmm. was told not to. There's been There's some articles saying that when he would kneel before the games to pray or after a touchdown, that was frowned upon by the NFL, and either he was told not to do that. There's been players that wanted to wear certain colored cleats to promote awareness of mental health issues or to promote domestic violence, to keep players from, you know, to raise awareness about domestic violence and to try to prevent that. Mm-hmm. They were told not to. They were actually fined. Reggie Griffin III in 2014 wore a shirt to a press conference, said "No Jesus, no peace," and was told to wear it inside out. He was not allowed to wear that. People have tried to find the cure for cancer, eye black, and they were fined for that. So the NFL has chosen, and the Dallas Cowboys, when those five police officers were gunned down mm-hmm. In the street, they wanted to wear a decal, you mm-hmm. know, to show respect for the officers and their families, and they were told they couldn't do that. So to me, it's, you know, it's disingenuous of the NFL to say that they can't do it or it's their First Amendment right. First of all, it's not a First Amendment right. That has nothing to do with this at all. And they're kind of picking and choosing their battles. I think if they're going to have a bright line rule, they should just have that rule. No, you know, no message. It doesn't matter what the message is. You just can't do it here. You can do it before or after the game, but not during the game. But to say you can't honor these police officers that were shot in the line of duty, mm-hmm. but you can take a knee for the national anthem or, mm-hmm. you know, for your own personal cause.
So where do you see, Corby, where do you see all of this heading for this this season? And if we are not paying their salaries, the viewers and the fans, then who is subsidizing the NFL? Where is this going?
If I had a crystal ball, so I don't really know the answer to that. And honestly, what I'd really like out of all this, I would love to just see everybody standing together again. I went back and watched some old YouTube video of Whitney Houston back in 1991, I believe. She sang the national anthem at the Super Bowl and did a beautiful version of it. And this was during the Gulf War conflict. And so we had issues going on in our country and overseas. And, you know, you could have had people taking knees at that point for their own personal issues, but nobody did. Everybody stood up together, black, white, brown, it didn't matter, man, woman, child. We all stood up as Americans together. And I watched that, and I was so moved, and I was like, man, how did we get so far away from that when we were moving so far in the right direction? And what I've come to the conclusion is that it's not to say that the reason that they're taking a knee is not a legitimate issue that should be addressed. There's, you know, throughout our history and in the future of our country, there's always going to be issues. Whatever that issue is, whether it's social injustice, police brutality, police officers that are getting killed in the line of duty, there's people that are pro-life, there's people that are pro-choice, there's people that are pro-immigration, people that are anti-immigration. And if everybody starts to say, well, you know what, to me, my issue is more important than anybody else, or I have this, you know, I'm pro-immigration or I'm anti-immigration, so I'm going to take a knee because I don't like the way things are going. Mm-hmm. And then you take a knee because you're pro-life, or somebody else takes a knee because they're pro-choice. Well, before long, and we go to a football game, the announcer is going to say, well, everybody, please get on your knee, you know, face the American flag, get on your knee for your own personal individual issue that you had, mm-hmm. that you think is more important than the collective whole, mm-hmm. and we're all going to be on our knees for the national anthem. And then what they're protesting won't mean anything because everybody mm-hmm. will be on their knees. Nobody will know what everybody's on their knee for.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, as Americans, as a country, we're better than that. Mm-hmm. And I think the big picture is like, look, let's all stand together for this 60 seconds, 90 seconds, whatever it is. Pay honor and tribute to the veterans that fought and died for all these great rights that we enjoy. And then the rest of the day, we have time to go on social media and call mm-hmm. each other names, or, you know, protest out in the street.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a major issue, Corbin. We've got to take a station break here, and we'll be back with Corby Holcomb. And we're talking about his new song that's been written. And we'll be back.
I'm BPNRadio.com News Director Delvin Kintzer. Pray with us for another spiritual awakening in America and around the world.
It's good to have you listening here on BPNRadio.com on this Monday in August, and we're broadcasting from our studios in Austin, Texas. Good to have you listening here on BPNRadio.com, calling America to pray. We're talking about a major issue. It's a very patriotic thing. It's great to have today my guest, Corby Holcomb, who has written the song, Let's All Stand for This One, that we played earlier in the program. And Corby is a full-time attorney, prosecutor in Travis County, Texas. For the past 20 years, he's written over 30 songs, including this great song that attracted my attention. I believe that there will probably be a million people that will watch this one on YouTube. And, of course, you can purchase this song on iTunes and some others. And a song written by Corby Holcomb is our guest today, sung by Chad Hudson. And, well, it's good to have you listening today. And, Corby, we're going to wrap it up here with a few comments you have. And what we're going to do is when we get finished today, we're going to play the song again in case somebody is tuned in late. But tell the people again how they can obtain this song, Let's Stand for This One, and how they can, I guess they can just get on YouTube. And is there any other social media sites?
Yeah, so YouTube, I think if you watch the video, I think it will really convey the message because I helped co-produce the video on that, and I think you'll really get with the music and the images that you see, you'll see that we're really trying to promote a message of unity for our country. Mm-hmm. However, most of the money that will be raised, I'm donating 50% of all proceeds to veterans organizations to help wounded warriors and families of veterans. That will come from the online music purchases. The song's 99 cents on iTunes or Spotify, Pandora, any of the other. I think it's 150 different online music venues. So if you actually go and purchase the song, and then if you like the message, you like the video, you like the song, this is kind of a grassroots campaign. I'm not a professional producer. This is just something, a passion and a message that I'm trying to get out there. So mm-hmm. if you could share it with family, friends, if you know any veterans out there, anybody you think that might do it, that's how I'll be able to raise the most money for veterans organizations.
That'll be great. And I know that there's a lot going on in America, and like you said, divided we fall, united we stand. This is a great song, and I encourage all of our listeners to purchase the song. Share the information. Do you have a Facebook page or any way people can contact you?
I am on Facebook, so feel free to contact me that way. Send me a message. You know, check out my Facebook page. So yeah, and I've gotten some really good feedback actually from people that have shared the song already, and I've gotten some messages from people that I don't even know. Mm-hmm. That just said, thank you so much. You know, my dad fought in the Korean War. He just passed away, and that song meant so much to me. And so that it's been very positive so far. I think most people understand what I'm trying to do, and that the message is kind of what we need right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I sincerely agree with that. We have two veterans here on VPNRadio.com that are hosting programs, and so yeah, we're definitely standing for America. I hope things change so you and I can watch some football this year. That'll be great.
That'll be great.
Yeah, it's good to have you on today. I'm going to play just a moment. I'm going to play the song again. Let's All Stand for This One, written by my guest today, Corby Holcomb, and sung by one of his friends, Chad Hudson, and who lives here near Austin. Would you say a closing prayer for this nation? Good to have you on. Look forward to having you back again. And we're gonna close out this portion of the Monday Watch with playing the song again. Let's Stand for This One. Be able to say a prayer, Corby.
Okay. Dear Lord, thank you for all the veterans that have served for our country, and for all the military members that are currently serving and the families of military. I just ask that you keep them safe, you protect them, and that you help our country come together and unite, and that you just keep us all safe and help us build a better country. In your name we pray. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you very much. Here's the song. Let's All Stand for This One. Thank you, Colby.
My dad fought in a time of war, just like his dad and his dad before. They risked their lives so that we'd be free. They fought for you and they fought for me. The Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines run to the fight wherever the need. They gave their lives, they lost their limbs. Let's unite and remember them. So when it's time to honor them, let's stand for our national anthem. Rise for what unites us all. Remember that divided we fall. When trouble comes, we don't run. Let's all stand for this one. Small town Friday night football game. Billy Joe in a wheelchair as they called his name. He lost his legs in Afghanistan. When the anthem played, he wished he could stand. We'll always have our differences, I'd agree, but this is bigger than you or me. Disagree and still stand as one. A better country there is none. So when it's time to honor them, let's stand for our national anthem. Rise for what unites us all. Remember that divided we fall. When trouble comes, we don't run. Let's all stand for this one. Tired little masses breathing free, this great land of opportunity. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? It ain't about who's wrong or right. The land of the free because of the brave. It's not what they took, it's what they gained. So remove your hats, stand up please. I'd rather die standing than live on my knees. So when it's time to honor them, let's stand for our national anthem. Rise for what unites us all. Remember that divided we fall. When trouble comes, we don't run. Let's all stand for this.
strong. When trouble comes, we don't run. Let's all stand for this one. As brothers and sisters.